When it comes to the self-management context, it's important that we also remember that our use of language is just important. Many people who come into wellness coaching or looking for a wellness coach have had some kind of engagement with possibly a healthcare system or doctor or healthcare practitioner, or have been engaged with in some way that has told them that they have a problem or are developing a problem. So, for instance, people who are presenting with substance use issues might well have been told or been offered the label of alcoholic or addicted, somebody who is struggling with stress might have been told that they have a sort of diagnosable condition, or possibly a diagnosable condition of depression, and so on. So it's important to remember that language is still extremely important, and we want to listen carefully for clients who tell us that they've been told, you know, that they have such and such a problem developing, but which they're resisting that idea, or rather, should I say, resisting the label. It's extremely important that we understand that people need to come to a place where they're ready to embrace their own way of understanding and describing their situation without it being imposed from the outside. And you certainly don't want to join the ranks of the imposers. So it's important that we keep our self-management as tightly focused and as held as important by us in the context of working with people in the prevention context. Self-management is important too, because we can find ourselves having to listen to people as they put up their defensiveness around some of the possible outcomes that they have been told might be coming up for them with their healthcare challenge or their behavioral challenge, and which they're resisting and they're defending themselves about. So let's use a clear example. Somebody, for instance, who is a heavy smoker and has been for some time, will seek to defend their heavy smoking, even though they know that they're flying in the face of statistics and odds and medical evidence. And so that defensiveness is really there to try and manage their emotions, which is something that we've talked about in previous sections. So that defensiveness can be there as a form of "it won't happen to me," you know, "other people get cancer, but it won't happen to me," or "other people become alcoholic and dependent, it won't happen to me," or "other people will really get obese and get type 2 diabetes," or "other people will have breakdowns," and so forth and so on. So there is this defensiveness which can be present, particularly in these low level areas. So again, we need to manage ourselves, because what may be somewhat evident to us on presentation isn't important, in the sense that it is not our job to try and break through that defensiveness. Our job is to get alongside with our client, understand our client, see the world through their eyes, educate them about defensiveness if that's appropriate, or when it's appropriate, and use some of those techniques that we looked at in the recovery module, but within the context of a milder form of resistance to the facts that are around them.